Hello, Ed Cavalli here. Brought to you, as always, by my sponsors, Gina Reinhardt and Qatar. And thank you so much to, I don't know if I'm their guest or they're my guest, but either way, it's a cabal. I'm calling this a cabal. My friends are Bryce and Ren, the Equity Mates. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Ed.
Ed. Yeah. I don't think either of us are guests. I think we're just all hosts. We're all in this together.
This guy.
I know. What, taking your job.
What a socialist. Welcome to the Socialist Finance Collective. Every now and again, you guys will make the mistake of having me on so I can do some windbagging about something. And then we finish that and I go downstairs and I bore the office for a while. And then eventually one of you politely says, we are running a company, a very successful one. We do have other things to do, and I leave. That is correct.
Sure.
That's how it runs.
That's basically how it runs. So sadly for you guys, though, we had a chat about something that we all were interested in. So you guys know about finance, equity, etc. I know about...
Australia's best pie has been crowned. What was surprising about the winning pie? Ed. Cavoodle meat.
But we're both interested in this basic question of, is there any money in ... And this happened because a friend of mine who's worked in television and film production extremely successfully, his name's Michael Bay, you might have heard of him. He was asked a question. Neither of you laughed. You don't know who Michael Bay is, do you?
No.
Transformers director?
Disgusting.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Transformers, look, Ed, Con Air, The Rock.
Ed, you're
stop
pretty,
me when I get to one.
You're pretty big. I would believe that you know him.
What are you guys, Emily in Paris fans? What are we doing over here?
Just finance documentaries.
Yeah, you're gonna fast.
Dirty Money, Enron, Smartest Guys in the Room.
I like that one. That
you're
one
gonna
too.
Fast find out how big my circle of competence is when it comes to all things outside of finance.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm very, because I've got a term coming up though. That's just for you, right? Just I've got a term that straddles both worlds that we're getting into.
Okay.
And I'm
okay.
Really excited about it.
All right.
Because I had to look it up. And when I looked it up, I was like, they are gonna love this. All right, here we go. So he was asked by someone who works in lighting. This guy has a very successful lighting company. But my mate is basically one of the most successful television writer and producers Australia has ever known. And at a party, very, very innocently, the lighting guy said to my mate, so what do you do? And he very humbly said, oh, I work in television and film production. And to which the lighting guy said, oh, yeah, is there any money in that? Right? Which I love.
Is there in Australia?
Well, there can be. And that is a term I use all the time now, just for a laugh. Is there any money in that? Yeah, yeah. So, but that's what this is. This is called, is there any money in? And one of us is going to present to the other two in a very equitable way, Ren.
Okay, yes, it's not like a host thing.
It's still socialism. A topic, and then discuss whether or not, and I'm going to pitch today whether or not there's money in music.
Nice.
So my pitch today and my question to you guys, with your knowledge of finance and my knowledge of Google, is there any money in music? Now, let's go around the room and just ask the question first. Okay, Ren, is there any money in music?
Your mind goes to the Justin Biebers and the, you know, the Rolling Stones of the world.
Yes.
So for them, certainly.
Yep.
But my mind also goes to Bryce Lesky, who flamed out of a drums degree at university. Not a lot of money in it for him.
Yeah, well, I have experience in seeing where the money is on the other end of the spectrum. Classical music, for example.
Ah.
Or if you're playing in a pub band, is there any money in that music?
Yes.
That's a different story if you're not Ed Sheeran, if you're not Justin Bieber.
Bryce was Canberra's best pub DJ from 2012 to 2014.
There is good money in DJing.
So there is money in Canberra pub DJing.
What was
the number one requested song in Canberra pubs between 12 and 14?
K-San.
Yeah, baby. Come on, baby. Play us something we know.
And you don't want to know how much people paid me off the dance floor to play K-San when it was already on a compulsory set list that I had to play three times a night.
How much? What was the going rate for an extra spinner case?
I got $80 once.
$80 for a spinner case?
From one person to play K-San. And I did say, you do realize that this has already been played and is coming up. And they still paid me.
How good.
That is wonderful stuff.
Episode done.
Yeah,
well, thanks so much. Music.
Now let's do our facts about K-San. Written by...
Good question.
Jimmy Barnes?
No, the other one.
Don't know.
Ian Moss.
Okay.
Written by Ian Moss where? At Cafe Sweethearts, which is now McDonald's in King's Cross.
No way.
In Sydney.
There you go.
There is no plaque. So, or if there was, people would accidentally throw up on it every weekend. Anyway, so yeah, okay. Short answer is yes, there is money in music. And there is certainly money, there used to be money in a genre called rock. Now, you would have remembered this, Bryce. There used to be a genre called rock.
Yes.
It's no longer with us. Ren?
Sad to say it go.
It is no longer an ongoing concern. Okay. Yeah. Question, first things first. What is the highest selling rock song of all time?
The highest selling rock song of all time.
I'll give you a hint.
AC/DC?
I'll give you a clue. It's not a rock song.
Oh.
Oh.
That's how you know the genre's gone.
Is it going to be a recent one? Not a rock song, but maybe with a guitar and drums. I don't know, like a Taylor Swift song?
Yeah, you're on the right track. It's
Ed Sheeran.
No, it's Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Okay.
Radioactive, right? They never asked for that on the DJ, the Canberra DJ. They never asked for Imagine.
Could have, but it wasn't on the list.
It wasn't on the list, baby. Not on the list, baby. So, what is the second highest selling rock song of all time?
Beatles?
Yeah, Rolling Stones.
Not
something?
Even close. It is, my friends, this.
No way.
Right. Don't Stop Believing.
It's a good song.
It's an amazing song.
Yeah.
Destroyed there by the criminals at Glee. The television show Glee. So that is why I played that horrific version. Listen to the energy in it. Because
I kind of pay it.
There he is. He loves it. He'll play that. Give him $5 and he'll spin some Glee. Because the reason that it is the highest selling rock song of all time is something we're going to cover here. Because one of the ways, Ren, that there is money in music is if your song keeps getting used in different ways. Mm. So Don't Stop Believing keeps having life because it was at the end of The Sopranos. Glee used it. It's in ads. Mm. So every time something else happens, Bryce, that people go, oh, that song, then they look it up, then they buy it. So one way that there is money in music is to have a song but not have it just be the same way it is until the end of time, which we're going to get to, using a term called interpolations.
Yes.
Oh, their eyes are lighting up, baby. Now, that's a financial term, is it not?
Is it a financial
term? It's a financial research term, meaning if you look at the current sphere of costs and revenue, can you make projections about the future based on those current states?
Right.
In a sort of a holistic sense. And people sort of argue against and for it.
It is a formula.
There you go.
Interpolation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there you go.
We're going to get to that because that's where music has ended up, in a world of interpolations.
The insertion of something of a different nature into something else.
Yes.
There you go.
So that's what's we're ending. So next question. Is there money in Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby?
Gotta be.
Definitely.
Gotta
Did
be.
Did you used to play it?
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
But I think I know where this is going because he interpolated a song.
That's right.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, not at all. Please, because that is part of how we've got to where we've got to. That court case, the baseline of Under Pressure, mm-hmm. which is in Ice Ice Baby, mm. they went to court, obviously, with Queen and David Bowie. A funny bit is that David Bowie gets less than Queen. David Bowie gets less because he doesn't sing in the bit that they use.
Really?
Yeah, so his voice isn't on the master,
spewing.
Even though he's part of the... Yeah.
Right, okay.
So you always got to go, na-na-na.
Yeah,
if you're writing a song, right? Yeah.
An oompa.
Always throw in your own oompa. Which is one of the reasons that Timbaland, the fantastic 90s hip-hop producer, started using his own voice as the beats and then adjusting them.
No way.
Yeah, in Missy Elliott songs and the rest, because he's a very smart man. He's like, I am not missing out when they redo this.
Wow.
Ice Ice Baby, per year, still to this day, how much do you think Mr. Vanilla Ice is receiving? A song he did once and still had to pay almost, they argue about how much he paid for that sample, but how much do you think if he's still getting?
I have no relative scale, but I'm going to say, I don't know, $8 million a year.
No, what? I was going to come in a lot lower. I was going to say like one.
It's about $400,000 per year.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Which for a
you blew the scale out. Yeah. Now we're not impressed by that. But 25 years later, he's making $400,000 a year from one song.
From one song that... it was, it's a great, it, you know, it's always fun when you hear it, but without the under pressure bass line, it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
So that is the world that we're in. Okay. So is next question, is there any money in new music based on what we've just heard?
There can't be.
I reckon if you're a big artist, there would be. Like Taylor Swift's album, most downloaded of all time. But like if Bryce, if the three of us decide to take this show on the road and pick up a guitar.
I was in a band called Blind Pilot. They're not making any
Still on Spotify?
We never made it on Spotify. Oh,
okay. Where are they now? Where are the other members of Blind Pilot?
Some are still trying in music. Yeah.
Same band?
No. Well,
Bryce isn't I'm not in it. You know?
No, but you can still Pete Best.
I'd be hoping I did do some umbop, so I'd be better getting some roses from it.
Short answer is no, there's not. Mm. And less and less. Now, this is according to The Atlantic at the end of last year. Old songs now represent 70% of the US music market.
Wow. And what's an old song, like more than a year old or something?
Basically. So that is not a new release. So not, there's not hype, there's not release, it's not this year. But when they say old, they are meaning 10 years. They're meaning 5 to 10 years.
And not interpolations, but just old songs.
That's the part that we're getting to,
right?
Because the market has changed a couple of times, and you two are going to love when we get towards the end, because the big Wall Street investment firms are now coming in very hot.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a mate who only plays songs from his Apple iTunes playlist from 2010.
Why only 2010?
Well, that era. End of high school era.
He stopped finding music in 2010.
Oh, yeah. That's actually pretty late.
It's just stuck in high school.
What's
years.
He got? Like Hoobastank? What's he
rocking? Robbie Williams.
Shakira,
Boys.
Hips Don't Lie gets a real
incredible
play.
Incredible song. Yeah. It is an incredible song.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, shout out to Rowe.
Shout out to you, young man. So the working musician is they're saying that it's basically an endangered species. The working your way up from clubs to pubs to small venues to big venues, et cetera, et cetera. That basically now is the argument is being made in most places I can find is it's not really taking place anymore.
You just have to blow up on TikTok, they say.
Now, I'm so glad you brought that up because that's what TikTok wants us to believe. They're having a terrible time proving TikToker that if you blow up on TikTok, your song blows up. It has any relevance to sales, to touring, to even getting signed by a label because so much of their stuff is a remix of something else.
I mean, there would be some examples they can point to. Lil Nas X, Olivia Rodrigo.
Was he TikTok?
Yeah, he was TikTok.
Was that first one TikTok?
Yeah, Old Town Road.
Maybe that, but that's a beat that he bought off the internet.
Oh, really?
He bought that for $50 for Old Town Road, and it was only after it started going well, it's only when Billy Ray Cyrus joined, that's when it blew up.
Okay.
That's when they started selling it. And whenever this happens, I always go back to my favourite online stat. You know the books Twilight, written by
Stephanie Meyer.
We've got a fan.
Yeah.
That's not a fan, baby.
Haven't seen the movies, but read the books.
Here he is.
I actually haven't, but you know.
So that started as
fan fiction.
Fan fiction, yeah.
Yeah.
For something.
It was fan fiction. Wasn't
it was
no,
like
50 Shades of Grey. Sorry, 50 Shades of Grey started as. Sorry, I'll get this right. 50 Shades of Grey started. Twilight was fan fiction of something or another.
Oh, really?
50 Shades of Grey started as fan fiction of Twilight.
Oh, okay. That's
initially on the internet, the characters were called Bella and Edward. How many times, and I love this stat, how many times was the fan fiction, nothing changed except the names, mind you. Nothing changed except the names when it went to 50 Shades of Grey. How many times was it downloaded as fan fiction before she sold a single unit?
Oh, this is an interesting question. I'm going to say not much, 15 times.
I'm going to go with 1 million.
And this time you're right.
Yes.
Oh, really? It had
a million downloads as fan fiction. So the point being, in publishing, that absolutely works.
Mm.
Get an audience, get them to like your style and then adapt it to an original in quotation marks. But I'd be interested to go back and have a look at the Lil Nas X example to see how much TikTok – how much work it did initially, because I don't know that. But that is a very, very good question. Now, let's get into where we've landed at the moment. So Switched on Pop is a fantastic podcast, absolutely wonderful. A musicologist and a writer, and they talk about music and they go through the charts, et cetera, et cetera. And they did a really good episode recently talking about interpolations and talking about the business practice of music and how it works now and how basically good luck trying to have a new song. Because what you're going to have to do, as we've seen with 70%, is trying to beat out the old songs. Mm. So I just went on the charts today to have a look at the Australian charts. Top 15 songs in Australia, over half are either covers or interpolations.
Really?
So that's playing out as we speak. Mm. So right now that's taking place as well. And a lot of them are buried, a lot of them aren't. Okay, so.
You host a radio show on a popular radio network. You could champion new music.
And this is the criticism often leveled at commercial radio, and it adds a point. I don't have any comeback to it because it's absolutely the case. Obviously, I don't have anything to do with the music. Announcing it. But you're absolutely right. That is part of what people always say. Well, you could play some new music, and I couldn't because I wouldn't be allowed because that's not the department. But whole radio stations now online and are based on whether or not they do that or not.
Mm, it's their defining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's also a reason they're top 15, right? Yeah. Like you'd do it if it works.
It's just like
you
give people what they want to listen to.
When a song breaks, we'll absolutely play it.
Yeah. And overplay it and play it again.
How dare you? You don't know.
Hey, we're podcasters.
You don't know a thing about the music variety at the New Today FM. I got one for you.
Yeah,
I wanted to give you guys the most perfect example I could possibly find at the moment about the three-stage process for there possibly being money in music. Because what I'd like this to be as well, if anyone's listening to this who are in Blind Pilots or thinking about starting a musical act, I want this to semi-act as a how-to. If you were just being cold and calculating, how could you try and make some money out of music?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. You don't actually need a lot of technical musical background.
No, you do not.
You just need a bit of pizzazz and a good ear and away you go.
I don't know if pizzazz is a word. Yeah.
Performance pizzazz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, identity. What I mean? Like, identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's absolutely right. Ooh, Ren's not sure.
And just the ability to mash music that people already have a hook to and away you go.
He's done it. Yes. Okay, the counterpoint is?
Well, surely you need some musical talent to be able to interpolate things still.
All right. Let's explore that.
I reckon
that
you could mash two songs.
But could I do it well?
Yeah, but what's well?
But you don't need any.
Do you reckon I can mash something that you guys would want to listen to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I take that away as a challenge?
Yes, please. Listen, next time we meet, we should all come back with our single because I've got one planned, which I was going to pitch. I'm going to pitch to you guys at the end.
Yeah, all right, let's do
I've
that.
I've got one already.
Yeah, but
one that I prepared earlier.
Is it Kesa?
No, it's one that I actually live DJed at a house party and it kind of went off.
All right,
so
I'll
bring it.
That is
damn, why did I set the challenge up?
This is when my commercial radio contacts are going to come in. When you come back, I'll be like, yeah, so I'm doing a song and on it is currently Dean Lewis, Amy Shark and three of the Backstreet Boys. All right, here is the most perfect example that I think I can find of an interpolation where you take the vibe. It's not exactly a cover. You take a part of a song and you adapt it and put it in a semi-new context, but not too much so that you don't still know what it was, but so that you can still, doesn't that remind me of something? The best hook is the hook that's hooked you before, is a saying they have in music. So that is exactly where we've ended up. Now, that's part two, right? Part one is you've got to work out, okay, which ones am I going to do? What am I going to interpolate here? And what's going to be my angle with it? Part three is something that Switched On Pop didn't really explore, but which I think is crucial for us here today, is where that hits the culture. Where do you land it? Now, I think the placement becomes so key because that's actually part of the business model, which I'll get to. So Top Gun Maverick. The best one, I think, is that One Republic song, I Ain't Worried, which I'll play a little bit for you in a moment, right? So I Ain't Worried comes out. Now, to give it its full title, it's I Ain't Worried from One Republic soundtrack. Or to give its full title, the song in the bit where they have a shirtless volleyball match, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So what we're dealing with here in that bit, it's an interpolation of a recent song. So it's a hook that's already hooked us before, put into a movie sequel. So we've already been hooked by the old movie. So now we're being hooked back into this next installment of that movie and it's done $1 billion. But we're also making sure that it's in the most iconic scene. So if you're – they pitched for this.
Oh, wow.
I cannot stress really? This enough. One Republic pitched – through their record label pitched to have this song approved by Tom Cruise in that most iconic of scenes. Because they're not in the new business. They know that this scene is going to be something that people are going to remember because they've already done it and they know people are waiting for it. So here is a mashup of what song they're interpolating. Now, I got this from TikTok. I would credit the person on TikTok, but I won't because I won't credit anyone on TikTok.
Nice.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. One more time for those planning on. Peter, Paul and Mary, young folks, 10 years ago now, possibly a little bit longer than 10 years ago. So it's not the same, Ren.
Yeah.
It's not a cover.
Very close.
She's close. Yeah. So one more time. Right. We've all had a good time.
Yeah.
Great TikTok video. We should credit that person.
No. brought to you by the Chinese government. So that is exactly how it works right now in the music industry. If you want to make money, your best bet is to have the clout or the nous to get an old song, to find a way to interpolate it and then to put it somewhere where people are going to see it or hear it.
And so anyone can rip anyone?
Yeah. It's
wait, really?
But that's what I'm saying. It's up for grabs. You are going to at some point.
But so are you up for a legal fight every time you do it?
Unless they like it.
Unless they like it.
Because if
it's beneficial down the...
Boom. So, because then they'll bring you into the tent and you're paying license fees, but they already own the songs.
Mm.
So they're happy that you've done it. So much so that they now have, and this was a great report, that they have songwriting camps. So they'll go to someone who owns a catalogue and they'll say, Top Gun, volleyball scene, what do you got? And then they run off and they look through their library of music. Oh, we've got that Peter Paul. Oh, that's a good one, that's a good one. All right, One Republic, they're looking for a song. What about, okay, we could do something there. And then they go back and pitch their interpolations. Or they just go and have these camps where a bunch of songwriters come there and they go, all right, everyone, these are the songs we got. Go off and interpolate. Then we can pitch it back out to artists.
Wow. It's like today we're doing Red Hot Chili Peppers California Cation. Yeah. Everyone go and come up with something.
That is exactly what is taking place.
Wow.
Where does it get too meta where you've got an interpolation of an interpolation?
Oh, that's where, don't you worry. Don't you worry, young man. Now, I want to, you brought up something earlier, Ren, which was key to this whole thing, covers.
Yes.
Covers versus interpolations. And we're lucky enough to have a straight fight between those two in the Australian charts at the moment with Australian artists. I wanted to see if I could find Australian artists that were doing this. So at the moment we've got a cover by Samantha Jade, who's a lovely person, done a great job, who is covering Let's Hear It for the Boy, the song from the movie Footloose. So this is a cover. This is and I've interviewed her. She's a lovely person. She's done a great job. A straight up cover.
Oh, yeah.
We good?
Yeah.
Yep. We're all nodding. But there's no spin on the ball. There's a bit of a beat, but there's no spin on this ball. Especially when you hear the original. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's Denise from the original movie Footloose. Thoughts?
I mean, it is a straight-up cover.
Yes.
Even the chord progressions, the bass lines, it's just elevated into a 2020 club sound.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you can change the sound, but it's like you don't change the lyrics or like the melodies.
Or you don't take part of it and put it somewhere else.
Yeah,
so that's a
straight
cover.
That's now, easy.
That's easy. But what it does do, it's done all right. It was, added to radio stations. We've played it and it sounds nice and she's great. It's not having a cultural moment. You two didn't know about it until I told you.
No.
Basically, did
no.
you?
No.
Okay, so it's not having a cultural moment, not like that One Republic thing, which is hashtag global. Now, what's interesting about the Footloose version, Ren, is they were already doing part of what's come back in fashion 30 years ago for Footloose. That original got massive because it was in the movie Footloose.
Mm.
Is there any money in music? Yeah. is there new ways to do it? They would argue yes. Well, not really, because they were pulling the same trick with Footloose in 1984.
Yeah, yeah, but that was an original there. That wasn't...
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, now...
Wait, hold on, before we move to interpolations...
Time for a word from our sponsors. Have I ever told you about Saudi Arabia, guys? Yeah. What a joint.
Is there money in rigging the World Cup?
Now you're being interesting, right?
So the cover there, is there money in doing a straight cover?
I would argue at this point, no.
Okay.
My argument at this point is no, there isn't. Not in the way that, because I think the interpolation has taken it over, and I think this is sort of being played out everywhere we look right at this moment. There are songs that we don't even know are covers. Did you know that Daryl Braithwaite's Horses was a cover? That's the way it's gonna be,
little darling. No. You're going to ruin some songs for us.
Hound Dog is almost a cover with, you know, Elvis Presley back in the day. Covers are fine. I've got no issue with covers at all. Nelly and Bruglia, Torn, that's a cover. So if you don't know, you don't know. And if you do know, who gives a shit, right? But here is now another popular Australian artist at the moment, Amy Shark, who did a song called Sway My Way with a guy called Rehab, but of course he spells it R3HA, whatever.
Classic.
You know who you are.
H-A. Say, say, don't
come and go like you do. Okay. Hang on.
Yeah, what?
What? Yeah. That was a trick. What I played was the original Bic Runga. See? Did you guys pick up on that or did you think this was Amy Shark?
I thought that was the original.
Oh, you did? Picked it, Ren?
It sounded very familiar.
Yeah.
But
did you think it was Amy Shark or did you think it was the original?
I thought it was older, so I didn't think it was
Amy
Shark.
So there you go. Yeah. So there are stations at the moment, radio stations, one of them playing the original and another station downstairs playing the new version. So that is a great way to get paid twice. There is money in that.
Yeah.
If you can do an oldie, a golden oldie, and interpolate it, you can get on Smooth and Nova. You know, I mean, Smooth pre-recorded their shows 9 years ago, but you'll still be on there.
Shout out to all of its competitors. Sorry,
I can't help myself. Let's have another go at Amy and Rehab with Sway My Way. See, not the same lyrics. Righto, so there you go. So
isn't the argument of making it culturally relevant, though, or isn't this just making songs from 30 or 40 years ago culturally relevant?
Just putting a club beat on it?
Yeah, just putting a club beat and getting it into a Spotify playlist and played in a club.
Absolutely. Or on radio, or keep your name relevant with a single that you didn't have to do too much with. And if a hook that's already hooked us before, then what do we care? As P. Diddy said, I take hits from the 80s, but do they sound so crazy? Yeah. He was telling us he was doing it in, 93.
Yeah, if you watch... I'm reluctant to bring Kanye up on anything in 2022, if you watch what he does with songs when he's making beats, like back in the day, it is just, it's incredible how, you know, like there's videos of him and he would like take a, you know, old soul or a blues song from like the 80s, slow it down, take like a bit of vocal out, and it's just crazy watching him, like his mind work and...
He's a one-man interpolation machine.
He is,
you know, I mean, you can, whatever you think of his Twitter presence and what he says, which is, you know, terrible, but the songs are, he was very much at the forefront of this current wave of what we're currently seeing.
Where do you draw the line between interpolation and just sampling? Because isn't all hip-hop in essence just sampling?
A lot of it, yeah.
Well, they had the original court cases that set the prices, et cetera, et cetera. Some of it's from NWA's first few records because Dre had such an incredible knowledge of songs. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, hang on a second, we got to... So I think there was one song where they had to pull out 27 samples individually and start working out the card, the rates.
Wow.
So now, question for you. Is there anyone in Spotify?
Is there money in Spotify?
If you're an artist on Spotify.
Probably for the top 0.01%.
Well, as Spotify shareholders, I can tell you there's not money in my brokerage account at the moment. I reckon there would be heaps of money in being top of a Spotify playlist.
Okay.
I reckon that would be like some of the most valuable real estate in music these days.
Okay, so 0.003 and 0.005 of a cent is how much they're currently paying on average per stream. So, no, there's not. But also you've got to remember their algorithm.
Yeah, sure, that's per stream. But music rights are being sold for millions of dollars because they, between Apple Music and Spotify, they spit off decent revenue.
So who's benefited from that? Like, there are some people we could think that you could name who've got, who've done well out of that.
Well, Justin Timberlake sold his back catalogue for $100 million.
Coming to that.
Should we put a pin in that? Or?
Oh, yeah, because we are coming to that, my friends, because that's the next evolution. I just want to let people know the way that they calculate, you probably already know this, you two, Spotify's, how they calculate how much you get.
It's total revenue that Spotify get. Yep. There's like a set percentage that goes to the record companies.
Yep.
And then that gets divided amongst the record, the artist based on like total streams and then your percentage of total streams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to try and get yourself up that ladder any way you can. Mm. And what better way than, let's say you're at Universal Music, than trying to interpolate 20 Universal Music songs. Mm. So even just on statistically, you could do a lot better that way.
Mm.
It's almost a gaming of the system if that's the system we're playing, because sales don't matter in that way.
The other thing that they've done is music's got a lot shorter.
Oh, I love that.
Because if a 10-minute song and a 1-minute song, if it's a stream count's the same.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about too.
I'd love to see what happens if Spotify changed it from how many streams you got to your percentage
time spent streaming. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's changed music massively.
So they're not requesting K-San, quite the opposite. It's way too long.
Yeah. Interpolate this down to a minute.
But I was thinking that with the TikTok though, if the aim is to be found on TikTok, you want the most high impact audio for 20 seconds.
So
you're just creating music that is 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, there are literally people that make music for TikTok now and like that's their job.
Nuts.
And they get paid.
But where does that go?
They would make more money than the music makes. just through their salary.
Yes. Yeah. But where would that go? Like how far can you take that? You can't tour that.
I mean, people ask that about where does a finance podcast for two guys that don't know anything about finance go?
But we're in the house that it built right now.
There's weird and wonderful jobs online. You guys know the stuff around drum sampling? So like the first guy that sold drum sounds online.
Yes.
He just like hit his snare a whole bunch of different ways, hit the hi-hat a whole bunch of different ways, packaged it up and sold it and made heaps of money selling that package.
I remember the guy. Yeah. He's great. Yes, that's right. I've heard an interview with him where he would go through his back catalogue and it was literally bam, bonk. That one sells well. Bonk.
Yeah. It's just crazy what you can sell online.
So here we go. Here come the people that you lot like, the big investors. The big Wall Street investment companies have Hipgnosis Song Funds, Primary Wave. These are also people backed by BlackRock who are placing money into these back catalogs of musicians because as one of them said, by acquiring these rights, the companies can reap the monies from royalties, licensing, brand deals and other revenue streams that would have gone to the artists, which is very interesting. We'll come to the licensing and the brand deals and the other revenue streams. And this is something I found interesting. Someone from one of these big Hipgnosis, which is traded on the London Stock Exchange.
Yeah, we can buy into it.
This is incredible. I did not know that. I am very, very interested. In addition to getting cash from however they worked it, they said, one of their public statements was that the value of music assets are stable or even growing during any turbulent time for the markets. So whatever else is going on in the world, their bet, these giant Wall Street, you know, and London investment firms, is that the revenue from music is stable.
Mm.
I find that would you agree with that from your knowledge? It's interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at
it. Well, I guess what's the economic conditions for people to stop listening to music?
It would be the economic conditions to cancel your Spotify subscription.
I think it was shown through COVID that streaming services is we're not through COVID. Even in now in recessions, people are holding on. Holding on to that over.
I would say
petrol in the car.
Spotify would be the last one to go for me.
Really, of all your services,
yeah,
because I don't pay for Spotify. I'm a YouTube guy.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
I'm a YouTube guy.
I've been very tempted to make the switch, but I haven't made it yet. But it's just like I want a music subscription over a TV subscription.
Really?
Yeah.
How many TV subscriptions do you guys have?
Almost all of them.
Do you really?
Yeah. I just got rid of Disney.
You're a terrorist. Why?
Did I get rid of Disney?
Why did you get rid of Disney?
Just we weren't watching. And you can just resubscribe.
Oh, you don't have children?
No.
The whole resubscribe thing is something.
Okay, so here we go. Let's start playing who sold their catalogue for what.
Okay, nice.
All right, are you going to tell us the artist and we guess how much? Okay, great.
I certainly am. Bruce Springsteen, 300 songs, 20 studio albums, 20 live albums to Sony.
I think it was half a bill.
I was going to say 250, but yeah, you might be right.
500, half a billion.
Mm. Wow.
For the boss. Interesting thing about the boss is don't see it in ads. You don't hear it in ads. You don't really
catalog.
That's true, yeah.
Maybe that will change now that it's hashtag Sony, not the man himself.
Yeah.
Because that we're going to come to that. That is where the big, big money is now. ZZ Top.
Oh.
She's got legs. I mean, it's...
I'm going to say 100? Less than JT. I'm going to say 50 mil.
You are good at this. You guys are good at this. 50 million for them. Mr. Bowie. David Bowie. Now, entire... catalog to Warner.
I also think that was 500.
It feels he should be up there. I'll say, just to be different to Bryce, I'll say 300.
It's 250. And the reasoning? Many less hits than Bruce.
Okay.
More music, more artistically lauded or whatever, but less easily recognizable tracks.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's what we're looking for here. Imagine Dragons. With the highest selling rock song of all time and other songs.
That's a red herring there.
20 mil.
Yeah. 200 grand.
100 million.
Oh, whoa.
So my point being, so what is the value to get to the first question we asked, is there any money in music? Well, what's the highest selling rock song of all time? Well, it's Imagine Dragons, Radioactive. Is there any money in music? Well, apparently there is, because you can ride that and a couple of other songs to $100 million based on future earnings.
Yeah. I can't help but think, though, it's like you're selling it for $500 million. If you didn't think that you'd be getting that, I mean, maybe it's $500 million over the next 50 years or something in return, but like it's obviously for these washed-up artists who are well into their prime.
Yeah, right.
It's a washed-up. Bruce Springsteen. Just played there, but he still plays too. He can sell at any arena in the whole world.
But does he have to pay a license fee then to play his own songs?
Yeah, because remember that's what ended up happening to the Beatles with Michael Jackson. When
that whole story's wild.
It's amazing. Paul McCartney says to Michael Jackson, you know, you got to remember the real money's in owning the masters and the recordings. Apple gets into a little bit of trouble and Michael Jackson goes, oh, all right. And then has to ask Paul's permission to go out and play Hey Jude.
It's a bizarre story. Has to ask Michael's permission.
But to your point.
What I'm saying is like they're obviously saying it's better for me to take 500 mil than keep my rights.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the finance of it all is just an income play for these investors.
Yeah.
You can invest in bonds and you get 3% a year maybe at the moment, or you can invest in music and you pay, probably not that much, but like 4%. Yeah. And it's just like I'll pay 100 million up front and I'll get 4 million in income every year. Mm.
So here's an interesting one, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Because what's interesting
about... Have they sold those?
Yes, because what's interesting... Now, this is the best bit of this. You ready? All pre-2020 materials.
Yeah, well, that's their good stuff.
Yeah, no one wants to hear...
Have they done anything pre-2020, to be honest?
But what's interesting about them is that they're still active. So are Imagine Dragons. Of these are the people who are still active.
Yeah, okay.
What if you're this company who's paid $500 million, what if Imagine Dragons' next song is also... the highest selling rock song of all time. You've missed out on that.
Yeah, but there's probably a halo effect there, isn't there? People go and
bring listen, up the old.
Go, yeah, ima- they go to the Imagine right, Dragons
you're right.
tour.
You're right. Yeah, fair enough too. So have a guess. Chili Peppers pre-2020.
Oh, I don't reckon a lot because I didn't.
I would prefer to own the Chili Peppers than Bowie, but I don't think...
A fair few hits. Great story as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Scar Tissue if you read it.
180.
I'm going to say 333.
140.
Oh.
So to put that in context, So Bowie's 250, Imagine Dragons is 100. I would have thought the Chili Peppers would have commanded more than a 40 million more than Imagine Dragons.
Same. Mm.
When you guys listen to those numbers, what formula are they using? Because they keep telling us that they can look at streaming revenue because streaming has been the big change.
I think it is.
That's how they've been able to exactly quantify what they think they can project forward.
Right.
It is streaming revenue. And like a rule of thumb, rough, times it by 25, then you get a 4% yield.
Okay.
And so like very rough maths, but that's how I assume they would do a lot of it.
Right. So then that brings me to the next point, which is there money in any music? Is there any money in old music? Yes, there is, because we keep hearing about licensing.
Mm.
So licensing. So I went through and I tried to find the most expensive songs to license. And the most expensive one I could find, have a guess which band.
Oh, I feel like we have spoken about this. And
I think you've told us this off mic. Is it the Rolling Stones?
Ah, damn it. Yeah, God, I'm boring. Sorry. I've only got two stories.
So I should have just pretended you didn't tell me.
No, I appreciate the honesty. Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And it's She's a Rainbow. So it's $4 million recently, though they still own all their stuff because Mick Jagger's hashtag businessman, to Christian Dior and Jim's Mowing.
Wait, what?
A collab?
I'm kidding.
Well, there's been some weird
one collab. For Christian Dior and then a separate one. No, it was.
Oh, I thought that was them together.
Jim Chiffon. No, it is a Acura, which is a car brand. They wanted to get into Acura. It's a Honda, but they wanted to be seen as more luxurious. And so they thought, She's a Rainbow, $4 million for those two ads.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And that feels maybe right. I don't know, for a massive song and a massive.
I would think in the millions for sure.
Really? Yeah. I don't think it would matter.
Yeah.
I don't think, because you know that there's a classic story about the Dandy Warhols, Not If You Were the Last Junkie on Earth, which is an incredibly, you know, fantastic pop song. Well, the song was going nowhere. This is in the mid-90s. And it gets on a car ad and then it goes ballistic. But they had signed a deal to do a music video for that song. And their record company spent $400,000 on the music video. And you'll never guess how much the licensing fee was for the ad. Oh, it's 400 grand. So they ended up with $0.
Oh, no. That's devastating.
Why but do you think it doesn't matter?
I don't think, if I asked you guys about songs in ads, name me your favourite song in an ad ever.
Well, I think there's memorable ones like the Qantas Still Call Australia Home.
Okay, a pop song.
Qantas, I Still Call Australia Home. The menu log stuff.
That's a jingle. I'm talking about licensed music in an ad.
Thunderstruck.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes.
What ad's that?
The ute.
Oh, yeah, which, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Car ads.
Which one, Bryce?
Which one was?
Which ute?
The Holden Thunderstorm.
He's done well there. Now, now, you and I did not speak before this.
No.
But I was looking for an Australian example.
Yeah.
And the highest I could find was for AC/DC Thunderstruck, which in 1999, when it was used in a film, cost $500,000.
Wow.
Now, you'll notice that it sort of disappeared from advertising AC/DC's music. You know, really, that Thunderstruck was incredible when you heard it. I still remember it too, with doing donuts in the thunderstorm.
Cloudy,
yeah, it was the best thing ever. but AC/DC's music is in Thor. AC/DC's music is in big action films, in Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's where you hear their music now. And what was hilarious, I remember when they made an Australian film with Stephen Curry, which is a good movie, called Thunderstruck, which was about AC/DC. They couldn't afford any of the music. So it was all covers and pieced together. So even though it was about AC/DC, a love affair with AC/DC, forget it.
That kind of ruins the movie.
Oh, it certainly did. So to wrap that up, so AC/DC, they won't release. So a lot of bands won't release, but they also won't sell, and they're also still doing new music. They're one of the few bands that is, they keep having lineup changes, but they keep touring, they keep releasing new albums, and it's no thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, AC/DC are releasing albums. Didn't know that.
yes.
Sorry, boys.
I didn't know that either.
But they're still going. So, almost at the end here, what do we do? If we wanted to make music right now, we've said we're all going to come up with an interpolation. Well, next time we meet, we're going to have our own interpolation. I'm so excited about this. So do we all agree that an interpolation is the way to go?
Well, I'm not going to bust out a cover.
No.
It does sound like it, yeah. It sounds like the way to go.
And placed.
You've convinced me, yeah.
Oh, yeah? So I've all right, okay. Yeah.
Placed.
Yeah, now that's where it's going to get tricky for us. Because I think we should make it first and then see if we can find a way to place it somewhere culturally.
Like place it, okay.
Okay.
So what's Tom Cruise's next movie?
One of his old ones.
Maybe the best interpolation is the outro music for this podcast.
Oh, how good is this guy? All right. Here's the I want a bags this song.
Second most played at Mooseheads in
Canada. Here we go, baby! I play this one for free.
This is a good one.
For
yeah,
a number of reasons. A, hashtag classic.
Yeah.
B, culturally, it exists in a place all of its own. C, it's a cover. A little known fact that it's a cover. So that's what I'll be doing. I'm going to be interpolating Horses, Darryl Braithwaite, okay, when I next see you.
Okay.
To find out, and then we will all come back here. So now that we've done all that, ladies and gentlemen, boys, final, now that we've had all this good fun chat, I'll ask you again. We asked you at the start and I ask you again now. Ren, is there any money in music?
There's, I don't know about making it, but there's money in investing in it.
Ah, that's a very you answer.
Yeah, I know.
It's very on brand. All right, DJ. DJ,
yes, there is absolutely money in music.
Is.
Yes.
In
yes.
what way?
In having your finger on the pulse and being able to have the skills to mash and interpolate. Well, it's actually in having a massive back catalogue that performs well on streaming.
Okay.
That's where I think the big money is, 500 million.
Yep.
250 million.
Okay.
Selling that.
All that's made me think, have you guys heard of the Lindy effect? There's this concept where the longer something has existed, the longer it will exist into the future.
Oh, I love this.
And so it's like you think about in like the history that we remember, the music that we listen to relevant here, but institutions, like the longer something has existed, the longer it's more likely to exist going forward.
Wow.
And it just, that's, this feels like a classic example of that. Like the fact that we're still listening to the Beatles now and all those other bands from the 60s have fallen away, that makes it more likely in 60 years from now we'll be listening to the Beatles rather than like someone who's releasing music now.
Yep. And that, yeah.
I do want to say though that I came across a visualization of all songs on Spotify that have over a billion streams.
This is great.
Ed Sheeran surprisingly is the number one artist with most songs now, over a billion streams.
I'm glad you brought him up. He's in my notes because he has a different approach. He doesn't interpolate. He steals and waits for you to notice.
I mean, it doesn't matter. So Ed, you said...
Allegedly. Wait, he got sued recently, didn't he?
He's been sued a number of times.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes he wins and sometimes he doesn't.
Right,
and
okay.
Also that Led Zeppelin, they invented this. They invented people going, wait a second, I think that's my song. And then Led Zeppelin going, all right, you got me. Put his name on the writing credits.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, it goes back as long as you want to find it, it's there.
Yeah.
But you said for a stream on Spotify, you get about 2 cents.
A fraction of a cent. Yeah, yeah.
Two hundredths of a cent.
0.002.
Correct.
2 one-hundredths of a cent.
0.02 cents.
Yeah, so 2 one-hundredths of a cent, correct?
Keep all this in.
I did maths in society.
So $0, decimal point, 0.0002.
No, 0.005, no third zero. So $0.005, which is also my rap name.
Yeah, 005.
Yeah.
$0.005.
Yeah,
which is... So let's go point... Let's go 0.002.
Okay.
Fine. We'll put five. So let's just assume. So he has 11 songs streaming over a billion. Let's say they've just made a billion.
Yeah, I love it.
At that 0.005, he's cleared 55 million.
Is that a billion a year or is that just billion?
That's just a billion
cumulative.
A billion flat. So okay. 55 million from 11 songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd take it. You'd take it.
Oh, I would take it.
There's money in it.
It's Ed Sheeran.
But so that, yeah.
Can you guess the second artist with most songs over a billion?
This is where you're going to be really hashtag tricky because this is where it gets into, do the interpolations count on their ledger?
if you know what I mean.
I'm going to say it won't count on their ledger. If it's just like Spotify artist. And
I'm going to go Mariah.
I'm going to go Taylor Swift.
That's what I would have thought, but it's Post Malone.
Otherwise known as Post Malone.
That is how Bryce thinks his name is.
I said that on purpose.
Now he himself, that's wonderful. Oh, that's excellent. What a great way to finish.
So Ed, we have this whole other concept for another podcast, which is just people coming in and explaining pop culture to Bryce because he just doesn't know
anything.
Where do
I start? Where do you want to start?
Anyway, I've completely derailed it. Yes, it's
so have you ever seen Spinal Tap?
No.
Right, homework. Go watch Spinal Tap.
Okay.
Because that's a mockumentary, hilarious mockumentary about a rock band that is from the early 90s. And it's the guys, Harry Shearer, who's in The Simpsons. It's you know, Christopher Guest, Best in Show, et cetera, et cetera. It's so worth looking at because it's almost like when you're watching this, it's a mockumentary about a rock band that can't find an angle, a sort of hair metal band that can't find an angle to break through. It was hilarious on the day, and now you watch it again and you're like, shit, they almost fucking predicted the future.
Yeah. Really?
Because these guys are struggling and it gets worse and they get more and more obscure and the marketing becomes the issue and they can't make it work in the industry. It's a hashtag ripper.
Love it.
Yeah, great.
How do you answer it? Is there money in music?
This really I'm really glad that we did this. This really changed my thoughts on it because there 100% is money in music. If you decide that identity beats output, if you decide early on that, righto, what is my caper? My caper is that I will interpolate songs, look for placement, look to TikTok, look to YouTube, look to get my name out there as someone like your Marshmallow or something like that who can be in and around culture, sort of pulling at the edges of it and inserting it into places, films, TV, ads, online videos, etc., and work your way into it that way. Like a covers band that somehow gets a record deal to do originals. That to me is, if you're not hashtag artistic or you don't care and you don't think the slug for the pub band is the way for you, 100% that is the way forward because genre is now gone as well. Remember metalcore? Remember, these genres all still exist and they're all in their small subcultures, but the subcultures aren't small. So if you decide that you're going to be that type of band, well, you just have to do the types of things that those types of bands do, which is to play festivals, to have a video of yourselves like Rise Against where you have to do the film clip where you're all in a van and it looks as though you're just a touring band doing your best.
You have
to do that. And if not, it's not going to work. And if you're going to – so pick your genre and play the identity game of that genre, play it well whilst doing music that sounded like someone else's songs or has other people's songs in it. And then there is most certainly money in music.
It's such a discouraging way to end it. If you don't worry about the music at all and you build your personal brand and your online following, you could become a musician.
And so, I mean, the bigger question without opening a can of worms is surely that this just becomes an AI play at some point where you're just feeding in...
Oh, AI interpolation.
You're just feeding in reams of songs that have proven to be popular on streaming and then it's just mashing and spitting.
It's like, forget the care. Just give me 100 options for this song.
You guys know more about AI than I do. Well, like, is that on the cards?
It would have to be.
Yeah. So the AI natural language was the first thing like last year, GPT-3, like AI can now write like a human and it's like, it's hard to distinguish. And then now there's AI art. That's the thing now. What is it? DALL 3 or something? It's kind of like WALL-E, but not. And so now AI art is getting, it started as a bit of a joke. Now it's getting a bit sophisticated.
Oh God.
So I guess AI audio is coming. I tried to train an audio to replicate my voice. It's still pretty shit.
You know why? Because it can't change itself. Like when I'm talking to you now, I'm still computing and I might change the sentence. If I got something else I might want to say, then I'll change my pitch. It can't do that.
The thing is the professional ones can. When Anthony Bourdain died, there was...
The doco.
Yeah, so the second half, or half the doco is AI. It's trained to replicate his voice.
I don't know about that.
But is there a difference between replicating and...
And like...
And...
Thinking and saying doing. Things. Yeah, I know
so
what
then,
you're saying.
So
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Know we're, you know what world we've entered into then, don't you? We're now in a super group of Michael Jackson, David Bowie and Whitney Houston
yeah.
releasing a new version of Aqua's Barbie Girl just in time for the release of Thor 15.
And the thing is, that, with, now
he's fired up.
We've copyrighted that. No one can steal it.
That is ours.
All right. Well, coming up next week on Is There Money in AI?
Yay!